Well, very, very, very excited about this because Bath Gin is one of my favourites. And as Paul Andrews always goes on, I'm a gin girl for sure. Loving the renaissance of gin at the moment. A few weeks ago, we went to visit the Canary Gin Bar in Bath in Queen Street, which was jam-packed even at 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon because it's the most amazing bar. And behind the bar, lots and lots of different gins. Lovely, lovely tonics as well, loads and loads of different tonics. And the guys there, the bar guys there really know what they're doing. They really understand how to mix drinks and how to make the perfect gin and tonic. I'm joined by Paul, the brand manager there, and he's very, very kindly. I'm also joined by Lucy, our researcher, who's so chuffed that he's given us a little miniature bottle of Bath gin each, which we're so pleased about. Paul, tell me about opening the gin bar, because there's quite a lot in London at the moment. Are there any others in Bath?
No, there's none others in Bath. It's quite unique in that sense. There are plenty of other very good cocktail bars and what have you, and obviously a plethora of restaurants. But as a gin bar, it's one of a kind as such.
And can I wander in there as a big hairy rugby player, because we've got the Bath rugby team there, and actually order a pint of Guinness? Does that work?
Guinness not as such, but we do serve other things apart from gin. Yeah, there are a range of beers and things, but we often get the rugby players coming in anyway. And they come in for the gin as well. So
yeah. That's good. Obviously, Bath synonymous with Jane Austen, and you're using Jane Austen quite a lot as a marketing tool, aren't you? I've got your cocktail menu in front of me.
Yep.
And it's described as the cocktails of Jane Austen.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the brand guy.
It started with the labelling and sort of having a figurehead, I guess, as such, or tying it in with Jane Austen and the heritage with Bath. And it sort of has progressed from there, where we've created a fiction character called Gin Austen, Virginia Gin Austen, who is now our international brand ambassador. And yeah, as you say, the cocktails of Gin Austen, which we do in the bar. And she's also on the social media recently as well. And
she's got a
characterisation, and you know, she doesn't just talk about Bath Gin or the bar. She talks about lots of other things that are going on around, and it's just a good sort of conversation point and just a bit of fun, really.
So. Yeah, it's really good. I mean, my favourite, unashamedly, is Jane's Garden. That's my favourite cocktail at the moment, and that's Bath Gin, which has a particular taste, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. But that's got apple juice and elderflower cordial, and the guys squeeze fresh lemon juice in it. It's really refreshing and lovely. And they garnish it with a cucumber slice. Tell me about the Bath Gin, because I think, is it 10 botanicals you have in here?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, 10 botanicals, of which the main three really are licorice, and then wormwood, and then wormwood is used in the production of absinthe.
Yeah.
So, and then also the main one is the kaffir lime leaf, which you find a lot in Asian food, and especially in sort of Thai green curry, that sort of thing. It's a very citrus and sort of floral style of a botanical. And it's the one we use to garnish the gin with, just to really.
That's right, because your signature thing is having a little kaffir lime leaf on top of when you're drinking your gin.
Yeah. Not a bay leaf, which some people sometimes mistake
it
for.
Yeah, you've put a bay leaf in my cocktail, son.
It'll definitely come out very different.
Yeah, and it's got a really interesting taste. I don't quite know how to describe it, but it's definitely got a taste all of its own. And it's not strongly juniper.
No, exactly. Yeah, the idea was not to. Sometimes overly heavily juniper based gins can scare people a little bit, and you know.
So it's quite an overpowering flavour.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and a lot of people don't like that dry bitterness to it. So the idea from the outset was to create a gin that, you know, people liked. Not overly technical, not, you know, carrying 12 different types of juniper in it and clever sort of things. It was just to make a fun, likeable gin. And as we can testify from our flagship bar as well, that you know, people do really enjoy it. You see it on their faces
really
straight away.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of theatre going on in your bar as well. It's just a great place, even if you went on your own, just to watch the guys making the gin, because they're all amazing. At the moment, I think you're distilling the gin in London. Is that right?
Yes.
But you're going to move your still.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, from the start, we wanted to get someone who knew what they were doing, I guess, and be able to handle large quantities. So yeah, we hooked up the Thames Distillery in London, and they've, you know, able to help us move it on as such. all the work for it was done sort of in the offices above the bar, and had a whole dining table filled with lots of different distillates and just different flavours and things, and combining them to get a recipe.
Because even changing just one ingredient, if you've got 10 botanicals, just changing one can change the profile, yeah. And getting that balance with 10 must be incredibly difficult.
Yeah, I mean, and funnily enough, it was the kaffir lime leaf, which is the main one. That was the last one to come into it. It was like, yeah. It feels like there's something missing. What could it be? And yeah, it was the kaffir lime leaf. But
suddenly cracked it.
But exactly. But now, in that meantime, last few years, we've been developing underneath the bar into a working distillery.
I mean, how amazing is that? You've got your own gin bar, and then underneath you've got the still bubbling away.
Oh, exactly, just creating really some wonderful concoctions,
What I was struck by when I went there, and I didn't really understand with gin, is there's lots of different types of tonics, and again, the tonics can alter the flavour profile, quite considerably. And of course, everybody goes, I'll just get the Schweppes open, which doesn't really taste it much, does it? And it's very quinine heavy, I find.
It is, Schweppes.
You can tell I really love gin. Sorry about this. Waxing over gin and tonics. What do you do in terms of the tonics? Because it's quite an important part.
Absolutely. It's all about allowing the gin to do the talking wherever you're going to be having the gin and tonic. So each of the gins that we've got in the bar, and we have about 230 of them to choose from, they all have their own best combination of a tonic and a garnish. Not always tonic either, it can sometimes be a ginger ale or something.
Yeah,
or a rose lemonade, which will suit it better. Mm. And so it's very important that we do try and compare the right ones. I mean, for our own gin, we use a tonic that's slightly less bitter, talking about the Schweppes, and also it's not as heavily carbonated.
Yeah.
And in fact, actually soon we're going to be we've been working on making our own tonic water.
Making your own,
exactly.
Wow.
So
if you want to take control, then just make your own.
Yeah, but the idea, it will be a tonic that will go with most of the gins out there, not just for our own gins.
Yep.
So, but
yep.
We've been playing away in a distillery recently, having a bit of fun with that, and can't wait for it.
And I think what's quite impressive is when you go into your bar, there are 230 gins, and all the guys there and the girls know exactly what one goes with what and what garnish goes with what. They must have to train for ages to get that right.
Absolutely, yeah. But it's there are worse things to be trained on than sampling. Lots of gins and lots of different botanical or garnishes to go with, whether it be fruit or herbs or spices or what have you. So it's but everyone in the bar itself, they're really dedicated to it. They love being there.
You can tell
they're all drinks enthusiasts to start with, but they raise it to another level, and they really try and. I mean, it's not educating people who are coming in, but it's being very open and trying to suss out what.
Sharing the enthusiasm. I mean, I think the best wine waiters I ever come across are not people who say this is a great wine.
Yeah.
It's people who say, what is it that you like?
Exactly.
What type of taste really suits you?
Yeah.
And then they match the wine to knowing what you like and not making any sort of judgment on one being better than another.
Exactly.
It's just what this person likes.
And there is no such thing as the best gin.
You
do get a lot of people saying, what's
the best
gin?
No, you can't say it.
Everyone has different tastes. Personally, I love savoury gin, which is quite fortunate because the Bath gin for me does have that savoury element.
It's quite macho, isn't it?
Yeah, in a way, yeah. But with the floral and the citrusy elements that come out of it with the kaffir lime, it can be very approachable. So.
Well, I would recommend anybody who's in the Bath area or thinking of going to that lovely, lovely city for a weekend break should pop in to the Canary Gin Bar in Queen Street. If not, go on the website because you have to have a Jane's Garden cocktail. So get the ingredients, they're very easy to get, and make your own. And if you can get hold of Bath Gin, certainly it's a really interesting one. Your website, Paul, is?
Yeah, it's just www.thebathgincompany.co.uk.
Really interesting, and we love it. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure, thank you.